Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon with you. And obviously, if you've gassed up your car recently, it comes as no shock to you that gas prices are, you know, higher than folks at a Grateful Dead concert. I mean, they are just crazy high right now. And this week, President Biden authorized the release of about 50 million barrels of oil from something called the Strategic Oil Reserve. So to help us understand what this release can and cannot do, I reached out to RT Trevino. He's an oil and gas expert with Pecos Country Energy. Hey, RT, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, good afternoon, Brad. Thank you for having me. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, we are enjoying our Thanksgiving as long as we don't have to gas up our cars. Because it's outrageous out there. But before we get into talking about the release of the oil from the Strategic Reserve, what's currently driving up the price of oil and gasoline?
Well, right now it's just the good old-fashioned supply and demand that, you know, we are at this date in the United States almost back up to pre-pandemic levels of travel. It's an estimated 50 million Americans are traveling this holiday weekend. That's very exciting. And unfortunately, this president did not put us in a position to be ready to handle when the country opened back up.
Yeah, and that's something I absolutely want to talk about before our interview's over, because, in fact, I think our current president has instituted policies that have resulted in high gas prices. But we'll get to that in just a second, because what's the Strategic Oil Reserve? The first time that I heard about it was after the oil shocks in the late 70s. I was a kid then, but that was the first time that I heard about this Strategic Oil Reserve. What is that?
Yes, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, Brad, what it is the United States emergency oil that we need during times of, hence, a pandemic, war, we can't get any oil anywhere. And that is what that is for. That holds over 700 million barrels in our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's a total that we can hold. We don't have that much in there right now. But just taking out anything for anything than a true emergency does not do us any favors.
And so right now, there's no emergency when it comes to oil supplies. I mean, even if the supplies are maybe in short supply because of the increased demand, that doesn't qualify as an emergency, does it?
It does not. Unfortunately, and I cannot speak for everyone, but I do know that, hey, we have 50 million Americans on the road. Everybody's budgeting different right now, but it still hasn't stopped Americans from filling up their vehicles. So that doesn't constitute as an emergency to me. And for him to continue to ask OPEC to produce more oil to bring down the price. That's a slap in every American's face right there.
Yeah, actually it is. And we're talking to R.T. Trevino. He's an oil and gas expert with Pecos Country Energy. And in theory, you know, it would seem like the release of oil from the strategic reserve should temporarily bring down the price of oil and gasoline because it would increase the supply. But I understand that's not what happened at all once the president announced this release.
That's correct. Within the hour of the president announcing the release of the 50 million barrels of oil prices actually went up over a dollar in that first hour. And we might see a little bit of a relief at the pump. The energy secretary of energy said 3 cents. I mean, that to me is not a break. I don't know, on a 20-gallon tank, that's what, 60 cents?
Yeah.
That's not a break.
No.
And so, and we might be able to see those breaks in 2 weeks. So what he did this week was nothing but pomp and circumstance. Look at me. I'm helping you out, America. But he's not helping anybody out.
Yeah, I think the only emergency was in his poll numbers. I think that was the only emergency that was there. And maybe his attempt to release this strategic oil reserve oil was an emergency response to his dropping popularity.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. This was nothing but a political move all the way.
Now, R.T. Trevino, you're an expert in this area, and I've read, and I don't know if it's true or not, I'm not the expert, but I've read that the majority of the actual oil that is withdrawn from the strategic reserve may end up going to China and India. Is that right?
What I have heard is that China and India are also doing a certain amount of barrels of they're releasing a certain amount of barrels of their stockpiles of oil as well. The total that basically is a lot of the countries off the Pacific, like India, Japan, China, South Korea, and a couple of others, and the United States, for a total of 69 million barrels that are going to be released. And yet America, once again, is taking the brunt of that, and we're having to supply 50 million barrels of the 69 million. We cannot continue to do this. Everybody needs to be on the same level, and they need to be withdrawing the same amount that we are, because that hurts us here mm-hmm. for our strategic reserve.
Right, because if there's a true emergency, if all of a sudden war broke out in the Middle East and supplies were completely cut off, or, you know, God forbid, something in the South China Sea, and all of a sudden supplies just completely dropped, we would need that oil for an actual emergency rather than just an emergency with President Biden's polling numbers.
Absolutely.
Wow. So it does seem more like a public relations stunt here rather than an actual emergency. But compare rather, you talked about this 50 million or 69 million barrels of oil. Pardon the pun, but isn't that just a drop in the barrel compared to how much we actually use on a daily basis?
Yes, Brad. The United States in 2020, and keep in mind 2020 was a very low year for obvious reasons, we did just under 19 million barrels of oil a day is what the United States consumed. So at this rate, that could be only 2.5 days worth of oil for the United States. And then on the world scale, we use 100 million barrels of oil a day throughout the world. So this is barely even 12 hours of a 24-hour period that this does. So this is nothing but a very small Band-Aid on a very big wound.
We're talking to R.T. Trevino. He's an oil and gas expert with Pecos Country Energy. And if President Biden, because we've talked here about how it seems like this move is more of a PR move than an actual move to impact oil supplies in our country and nationwide. But if President Biden wanted to actually impact the price and supply of oil and gasoline from a systemic perspective, what would his options be? In other words, what could he do to actually make an actual impact in the supplies of oil and gas?
He could actually get in front of his little podium, the presidential podium, and look at the camera and talk to every American and say, America, drill, baby, drill. And what that would do is that would then get us back to the playing, that would put us back in the competition and help bring down, do good old fashioned capitalism and have somebody that could actually compete against OPEC on a daily basis, which would help bring down the price of oil that it's at right now.
You know, I laughed when you said that, RT, because, you know, Sarah Palin was mocked mercilessly years ago when she was talking about getting the price of oil and gas down. And she said, drill, baby, drill. And people mocked her and the elites in Washington made fun of her. And yet, didn't we see that during the Trump administration where we opened up oil leases, we expanded pipelines? And because of the increased supply of oil during the Trump administration, we had historically low oil and gas rates compared to the gross domestic product.
That's correct. You know, when you look at the last administration, the prices of oil, and then compared to the previous administration that we had for 8 years, prices were very high during the President Obama's terms. And then President Trump opened up the spigot, let us get prices down to a place that were affordable, to where everybody, you know, on my end was making a decent dollar, and the economy and everybody else that was, you know, purchasing our products would purchase them and be still be able to go and do things. So it's very, very interesting, the correlation between the President Obama administration and the President Biden administration with the price of oil.
Yeah, and the price of oil, RT, I mean, if the price of oil and gasoline doesn't just affect us at the pump, but if it costs more for those truckers to transport our goods to market, then those price increases are going to be passed along to us.
Absolutely. You know, the transportation costs are up tremendously right now, and, you know, the cost of goods has gone up due to transportation.
Now, at the end of President Trump's term, you know, we were, and I'm going to stress this on paper, we were energy independent. I mean, obviously we were still importing some oil, but we were exporting natural gas to offset that. So on paper, we were energy independent during the Trump administration. As it stands today, RT Trevino, are we as a country energy independent?
No. As of right now, we are no longer exporting natural gas, because we had a plethora of natural gas and oil during the Trump administration that we were, for the first time in many years, selling our excess oil and natural gas to other countries. You know, it's kind of like the Bluebell, old Bluebell commercial, you know, we eat all we can and sell the rest. Mm-hmm. And now we're at a point to where this administration is begging a foreign country Saudi Arabia, to produce more oil, while we have Americans here that are ready to drill, open up the spigots, and combat these high prices of oil.
Wow. And that's not something that's happened generationally. That's something that's happened in a year and a half.
That is correct. When on November 4th, 2020, on election night, the price of oil was $34 and change. We are now we're at 70 or higher on most days now. So that means the price of oil has doubled. And we've gone up on the national average $1.31 on the price of gasoline in that same time frame. Since January 20th, when President Biden took office, the price of gasoline has gone up 90 cents national average.
Wow. We're talking to RT Trevino, oil and gas expert with Pecos Country Energy. And RT, I'm going to try to make this a short question. This is something that I follow pretty closely. And in years past, since Americans have perfected the idea of fracking, fractional drilling for oil, whenever the price of oil would come down because fracking costs more, there would be less fracking. But when the price of oil went up, then more supplies could come online because it was then profitable. And that would, again, create more of a supply, which would in turn bring down the price of oil. But if we have a political environment right now that is politically against fracking, that kind of a cushion and offset that in years past would bring down the price of oil, that's not an option if we have a president who's against fracking.
We have a president that's not only against fracking, but he's against oil 100%. He is attacking the oil and gas industry. He thinks that we can flip a switch and Monday morning everybody be driving electric vehicles. And that is not the case. It will take us 50 years to transition everything out of oil to renewable electric vehicles. If there was a factory and affordable transportation today, it would take 50 years. We don't even have the research and development done to have that type of vehicle on the road. So what this administration is doing is attacking the oil and gas industry here in America, trying to slow it down and shut it down overnight.
Well, and also what drives me crazy, RT, is that we've got the president that wants us all in electric cars, but it's not like that electricity just comes from nowhere. They're coming from power plants, and a lot of those power plants are still using fossil fuels or nuclear energy, but in other words, that electricity still has to come from somewhere.
You're absolutely right. Or let's talk about wind turbines. You got to have grease to make sure the wind turbines turn smoothly. So oil, and then you got to have oil products in the paint for your vehicles. And so there is still, and tires, let's not forget about the tires. So there are still things on a daily basis that oil and gas must do.
Well, to me is a fascinating topic, and I'm glad that you could join us this afternoon. RT Trevino, he's an oil and gas expert with Pecos Country Energy. And if people want more information on your company and what your energy company does, how can they find you?
Oh, they can go to our website. It's pcoperating.com or pecoscountryenergy.com, and it'll get you to the same place. And please reach out if you have any other questions about anything about the industry. We're more than happy to answer them.
Excellent. RT Trevino, hey, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you, Brad. Y'all have a good one.
It's great talking to you. Hey, when we come back from this break, did you ever see the movie Armageddon? You know, where Bruce Willis saves the world by blowing up an asteroid with a nuclear bomb? I mean, that's a cool movie, right? But we've actually launched a rocket this week to test our planetary defenses against an asteroid. We're going to talk to astrophysicist Ryan Ogliori from Washington University right after this on 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, yeah. That's what you just want to say that when you hear that kind of music. I wish I had the deep voice, the Bo Matthews voice that could say, oh, yeah. Brad Young sitting in today for Mark Reardon. Glad you're with us. And, one of the things that I just find cool is any kind of an actual mission that involves the words planetary defense. I mean, that sounds like Star Trek coming to life here. And yet on Wednesday, we had that opportunity to witness that. NASA launched a spacecraft that's going to literally crash into an asteroid with the hopes of changing its orbit to test our planetary defense systems. And it doesn't even involve the Vulcans or the Romulans. It doesn't. It's just NASA. So to help us understand the complexities of this mission, I reached out to Dr. Ryan Ogliori, PhD. He's from the California Institute of Technology, but now he's an assistant professor of physics at Washington University. Dr. Ogliori, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to talk to you. And first, before we jump into some of these complex issues, let's just talk about the potential dangers. I mean, what would happen hypothetically, and we don't know about this, if there's any on track to hit the Earth, but what are the dangers posed by asteroids if they were coming towards the Earth?
Yeah, it's a very real danger. It could be an extinction-level type event if the asteroid is big enough, and that's happened in the Earth's history probably a few times, including an asteroid that killed the dinosaurs. More recently, in the last 100 years, we've had two very large asteroid impacts, one in the early 1900s in Siberia and the other just a few years ago over Russia. And the one in Russia broke windows and knocked down a building. So these things, and that was a relatively small asteroid. So as we scale up to something 100 yards or bigger, then we can talk about something that can destroy a city. And much larger than that, like a mile size, we're talking about something that could end life on Earth as we know it. So these are very real dangers.
Yeah, and you mentioned the asteroid that killed off the dinosaurs. That crashed into the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. Isn't that the current belief?
That's right. Yeah, there's a large impact just off the coast of the Yucatan. It's called the Chicxulub structure, and that was discovered. A layer of very rare metals was discovered all over the Earth many years ago by a father-son scientist team. And it wasn't until some years after that impact structure associated with this event that killed the dinosaurs was identified off of Mexico. So just recently they did some drill cores in this impact structure, and I'm pretty convinced now that this is what did it.
Fascinating topic. So these extinction-level events are thankfully rare, but it's not necessarily a rare event for an asteroid to impact the Earth.
That's right. It happens every day. There's a meteorite that almost hit a woman in Canada just a couple weeks ago.
It landed on her pillow, didn't it?
It landed right next to on her pillow. So I study meteorites for a living, and I would do anything for that to be me. I'd love that for that to happen. So that was an asteroid. It was a small asteroid, and it made it to the ground, so we call it a meteorite. But something much larger is going to maintain its what we call its cosmic velocity. So it's moving at many miles per second. So if it's much larger, it's going to retain that speed and therefore its kinetic energy until it reaches the Earth. And then it's going to release that kinetic energy all at once, just like a bomb would.
Amazing. We're talking to astrophysicist Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. Let's talk about the DART mission, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test. What's going to happen during this test?
This is actually in the great cadre of space missions. This one's relatively simple. So, like you said, it was launched on Wednesday from California on a SpaceX rocket, and it's going to impact an asteroid system So this is a larger asteroid, Didymos, which is about 780 yards across, and Dimorphos, which is about 150 yards across, is a little moon of that asteroid. So it's a little tiny little planetary system. And what this spacecraft will do is just impact that little moon. It's a very hard problem because it has to navigate correctly and impact that moon accurately. And then we'll see how the orbit of that moon changes. It's going to change very slightly, even though the spacecraft is going to impact that little asteroid moon at four miles per second. It'll only change the orbital speed of that moon by something like a fraction of an inch a second. But that will be enough for us to detect a change in the orbit of that little moon about the larger asteroid. So the reason for doing this is that this seems like a very simple physics problem, but there's some subtleties, like what happens when, if we're going to do this to save our planet, what happens to that ejecta that comes out of that asteroid when we hit it? Does that add to the momentum, to the change in velocity that we're looking for? Because in the end, we want to change that velocity of that asteroid very slightly so it just deviates a tiny, tiny bit so it misses the Earth. So this mission will test those physics that we don't really know that much about to understand how that orbital speed will change once we hit it with a known mass at a known speed.
But the idea is that if we hypothetically, and of course I want to stress this is a test mission just to test the concept and the technology, but if we hypothetically spotted an asteroid that was on a trajectory to impact the Earth, if we located that asteroid early enough in the process, just moving it slightly might be enough to make it miss the Earth if it's far enough out. Is that a layman's explanation that's accurate?
That's right. That's right. Just like in medicine, early detection is the key here. So something like this, and again, this asteroid system that we're talking about is no threat to hit the Earth. It's just a test. But if we can find it soon enough, that's many months, 6 months, a year in advance, just hitting it with something just like a billiard ball collision, we'll move it inches per second, and that will be enough for it to just miss the Earth. So it's just kind of that lever arm idea. If we can find it early, we can just deflect it a little bit so it misses.
We're talking to astrophysicist Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. And you mentioned physics, and there's a reason why I went to law school, because there was very little math involved in law school. So, but what are the physics involved with finding and catching up to and diverting an asteroid that's millions of miles away? What are the physics involved with that kind of a maneuver?
Yeah, like a lot of it is navigation. So DART will use a very advanced autonomous navigation system. Because these things are so far away, we can't, you know, remote control them with a joystick. So it has a very interesting and novel navigation system that will allow it to impact this relatively small asteroid very far from Earth. So that's one thing. And the physics of what's happening when that spacecraft will impact that asteroid, there's ejecta that comes out, just like I was just recently at Meteor Crater in Arizona, a particular crater that was made by a meteorite collision with Earth. So when that happens, a lot of fragments come out, and how those fragments change the velocity, how much material gets excavated from the when the spacecraft hits it, which direction those projectiles from the impact are ejected, that all changes the speed a little bit. So I said it was, I think the calculation I saw is 0.4 millimeters per second, but whether that's 0.2 millimeters or 0.6 millimeters, that's the difference between that asteroid hitting Earth and not.
Oh,
so right
crazy.
Now we don't know if it's 0.2 or 0.6. Yeah, and hopefully this will help us with that.
Absolutely, because it seems almost inconsequential, but it can make all the difference, and pun intended, in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And early detection is the key. If it's late detection, then this type of mission won't work.
Right. And, you know, we've all seen movies like Armageddon, and they're fun. And it's also fun because, you know, Bruce Willis is larger than life, and he cracks a lot of jokes and does stuff that are completely absurd, but we laugh all the way to the box office. But in that movie, and many movies like it, you know, we launch a nuclear missile to take out an asteroid that's heading for the Earth. And there's a great deal of debate, isn't there, about whether that would be a good option or a bad option if, for example, there was an asteroid detected, but we didn't detect it early enough to use the DART type of technology to scoot it out of the way.
That's right. So if we only have a month or something less than that, then something like a nuclear explosion is actually the most effective way to disrupt the asteroid. That's to either break it apart so we can have an interplanetary ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead, and that will completely, you know, not vaporize, but break the asteroid up into small enough fragments that will burn apart in the atmosphere, and it will be pretty spectacular, but hopefully those small fragments won't, they're not large enough to do damage on the ground. This is kind of a last-ditch effort, and I think early detection is the key, and that's just about building the right telescopes that can see small objects, dark objects that are close to the sun. And really, in the last few years, we've built observatories that are capable of doing that. So hopefully we won't need this, the nuclear option, quite literally, which is really the last-ditch effort if we only have a month or 2 months of warning.
Yeah, understood. So this mission launched, you said, from a SpaceX rocket on Wednesday. How long is it going to take for the DART spacecraft to actually reach the asteroid?
It'll take about 1 year of cruise time. So we got to be patient. This is how it is with space missions. We get all excited when they launch, and then we have to have all this patience by the time they get to their target.
Yeah, hurry up and wait.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But what kind of information would you like to see as an astrophysicist? I mean, what would you like to see as a result of this mission?
I'm interested in this kind of impact process. Like, if that asteroid contains a lot of ices, this boost could be larger than we think it is. If it contains just rock, it's probably going to be relatively small. I study astromaterials too, so I'm interested in how compositions can change a problem like this. So, you know, if it's a comet, I think just a small hit would move that comet very quickly, because the comet essentially rockets itself in a different direction. So that part's really cool. It's testing the navigation, like I mentioned. It's also testing a relatively new ion engine that runs at like 3,000 watts. So it's got these amazing huge solar panels to power this ion engine. So besides, I'd like to see it actually hit the asteroid. That's one question I have. I think it will. But it's testing all these navigation and propulsion mechanisms that will be used in further future NASA missions.
Wow. Well, so much of what we see when missions launch, they're beneficial to our intellect and knowledge and understanding. But this kind of mission could be beneficial to our actual survival.
Yeah, I think it's an existential threat. And as a human species that's capable of developing this technology, we should have done it 25, 50 years ago,
right.
So it's about time. It's
better late than never. Hey, last question, and you've been very generous with your time, Dr. Ryan Ogliori from Washington University. But right now, this is just a NASA test mission. But do you see a time when the U.S. is going to work with maybe the Europeans or the Japanese or even the Chinese to develop the best planetary defense system that we can marshal with our current technology? Is that possible?
I think so. There's actually some private funding that's been devoted to this. So I think NASA and ESA and the Japanese space mission, space agency, have had a lot of great collaborations lately. So I think it would be cool as a world, the space organizations of the world could come together to solve this problem. I think DART will make a huge step forward for understanding these technologies. But yeah, the Europeans are actually launching a mission to return to this asteroid that we're impacting in 2 years to image the crater to understand more about that impact process. So this one already is a collaborative effort with the Europeans, which is great to see. And we're seeing that more and more.
Excellent. Well, anytime we have a mission that's going to be launching, dealing with this issue with asteroids or meteors or impact craters, I'm telling you, I'm going to be reaching out to you. Dr. Ryan Ogliori, you do a great job of breaking this down for regular Joes like us and like me in particular. So thank you for that. You're at Washington University, and thanks for spending your Thanksgiving holiday with us on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, I just think that's cool. It's like the first step towards the United Federation of Planets. Okay, all right, I'm working in too much Star Trek geeky lore. I'll back off of that. But when we come back, we've got more stuff here on The Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon on 97.1. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I hope you're recuperating from your Thanksgiving food coma because it's a marathon. I reminded my family yesterday as we were around the table. I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So keep that in mind as we're dining. But what really got me this week, and I noticed it this year, maybe you did, I noticed it this year more than any other year with regard to how the left media bashed the idea of Thanksgiving. I mean, before it was always, it was out there, fringe, you would hear it referenced. But this year was kind of in your face. And I went and I searched for some examples to share with you how the left wants to tear down Thanksgiving, just like the left wants to tear down all of the other institutions that have made the United States literally the greatest country that's ever existed. And I would love to debate that topic with any leftists anytime. And I would do it, again, while eating Thanksgiving, because that would be a good topic. But here is just some of the things that I came up with as I was looking across the spectrum of media for their editorial slant against Thanksgiving. Here's a quote from the USA Today on Tuesday. "What is Thanksgiving to indigenous people? A day of mourning," was the headline. "Americans believe that this holiday represents the dark shadow of genocide." Well, most Americans don't believe that. Here's another example. A tweet from, it's a weather service called Currently. I'm not familiar with it, but they posted an article on Tuesday. And by the way, why is a weather service commenting on Thanksgiving? Why is that even happening? But they posted on Tuesday that Americans who celebrate Thanksgiving, and that's probably you, it certainly was me, but those of us who celebrate Thanksgiving are, and I quote, "hurting the Native American community. Thanksgiving will be celebrated by many people across the country, and the holiday perpetuates a false narrative that spins the true history of genocide and colonialization into a light and largely false story," unquote. So if you enjoyed Thanksgiving yesterday, somehow you're responsible for genocide. I mean, that's preposterous. And it's outrageous that a weather service would try to tear down a cherished holiday for so many Americans. Even over on MSNBC, her name is Jossie Ross, and she explained in a segment that white people have created a fake story around Thanksgiving and that the pilgrims are responsible for a system of white supremacy that's used to carry out, I'm quoting, state-sponsored violence against black people to this very day. So, in other words, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, you're sponsoring state-sponsored genocide. I mean, that's ridiculous. But we're seeing now that this attack on America, this attack on our institutions, an attack even on our holidays, It used to be just for Columbus Day, but now it's open season on any holiday that you celebrate. Because, listen, it's been open season on Christmas for the past 20 years. But now this is going to even Thanksgiving, which I thought was, this is a holiday we can all agree on. I mean, it's apolitical, even though the people who started Thanksgiving fled to this country for religious freedom. And it's not an overtly religious holiday. It certainly isn't my house, but I mean, you can have a generic Thanksgiving, but apparently not. Even that is upsetting to those on the left. But the common theme in all of these attacks on Thanksgiving is that we've created this false narrative. But I want to point out a false narrative that the left today refuses to acknowledge. I mean, here's a false narrative. The idea that Thanksgiving was almost like a socialist event where everything was shared and the pilgrims shared everything they had and nobody was out to work for themselves and there was no private property. And that's also a false narrative about the foundings of Thanksgiving. But if you actually look into the history of the pilgrims, the governor of Plymouth Colony, William Bradford, wrote that the pilgrims thought that taking away of private property and making things communal would make them happy and flourishing. So even though they were escaping religious persecution, primarily in England, when they came to this country, they brought with them this initial idea, really, of socialism. But the part of that story is there's a large part of that story, rather, that is simply not told because, food and supplies were initially distributed based on need. I mean, it was basically Bernie Sanders America during that first Thanksgiving. But the part of the story that isn't told is how those pilgrims suffered. Because in a very short period of time, once they initiated this kind of socialism among the pilgrims, they starved. I mean, they almost died out. They ran out of food. They ran out of supplies. The people started dying from illness because they were malnourished. It was a failure on every level, that initial Thanksgiving, that initial attempt to colonize America. And it wasn't until they found a solution. And the solution was private property. In other words, they started to think how they could raise as much corn as they possibly could and sell the rest. And so they split up the collective farms and they gave every family a plot of land. And they said, if you can grow more than you eat, you can trade it to those who have less. And they brought capitalism. They brought private property. They brought market forces into play with Thanksgiving, with the initial attempt to colonize this country. And once they did, the shortages turned into a surplus. And that surplus is what we give thanks for at Thanksgiving. Because there was no Thanksgiving when the pilgrims first arrived, folks. It was harsh. It was brutal. And because they were embracing these socialistic ideas, it wasn't fruitful or productive in any way. But when they turned to capitalism and private property, that's when the bonuses started. That's when the surplus existed. And that's the concept that we have of Thanksgiving now, of that sharing of the food. The only reason they were able to do that was because of capitalism. And yet, you know, I've got one of my daughters just recently graduated from Mizzou. I've got another daughter who's at Mizzou. And if you talk to most college students today, you're going to find that socialism is very attractive, that capitalism isn't in. Capitalism is a nasty word on college campuses today. It's funny, I saw a piece just on NBC News last night talking about this farm in Pennsylvania that grows food and they give it away. They don't even charge for the food and they give it to folks and they have cows and they raise organic food and 100% of it is given away for zero. And yet what was buried in all of this feel-good stuff, which is fantastic, I support that. I'm glad they do that. We're called as certainly as people, but even more importantly for me as a Christian, to give to people. But what they buried in that story on NBC News last night was the idea that all of the money for that farm came from a hedge fund person who made, they just said, a large sum of money. So he was probably a billionaire. And because he had all that money from capitalism, he could then share what he got with others. That's different from socialism, folks. And so when you think of Thanksgiving and that quintessential picture of pilgrims sharing their food with the Native Americans, maybe that didn't happen. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what I do know is that that concept of flourishing among the pilgrims when they were attempting to colonize America, that flourishing occurred because of capitalism. That flourishing occurred because of the recognition of private property. And yet, if you go on a college campus today and talk about giving stuff away, and you ask those college students, where do the funds come to be so generous? They're not going to say capitalism, because capitalism is a bad idea on college campuses today, which is crazy, because if you look at those kids who are going to school, if their parents are paying for that school, the parents got the money because they worked for it. I mean, college is such a bubble of a fake reality, because those kids are going to school on money they didn't have, learning about stuff they're probably not going to need, and they're attacking the resources that allowed them to do that. It's crazy. But what hasn't been crazy is today filling in for Mark Reardon. We've had a blast today. We had an excellent Reardonless roundtable with attorney Mark Moreland and County Councilman Tim Fitch. And I'm glad you stuck around with us to the end of the show today. We've got a lot more here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mark should be back in the saddle on Monday. Don't go away.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.